Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Man on the Mic podcast, hosted by Jeffrey Mann. This podcast is dedicated to honest discussions that inspire, connect, and bring out the best in our guests. Now let's get started with the show. Here's your host, Jeffrey Mann.
Hey, everyone, welcome back to another episode of Man on the Mic. I'm your host, Jeffrey Mann. I am joined today by one of my brothers, one of the guys in my coaching group, nicknamed Deadbolt. I will give him a chance to introduce himself.
Yeah, I'm Nick Casebolt. I, like Jeff said, I'm a member of We Are The They, a member of Group 4. So we're not in the same group, but hey, we're part of the...
not on the best group.
I would say the opposite, but it's funny too, because I've met so many people from the different groups, and everyone's the exact same, everyone, right?
So this, it's like, this is my group. This is the
yeah, squad. Yeah. Like, we're all on the same journey. I'm just basically like 9 months ahead of where you are, right? So it's super unique to see it from that perspective. But yeah, I host the We Are The They podcast. So I've been doing podcasts myself for about a decade now. Okay. And so my experience podcasting has come from a lot of different platforms and a lot of different areas, but I host the We Are The They podcast. I run the Rookery Studios, which is the studio that Jimmy Rex owns and records his podcast out of. We have about 25 different podcasts that record out of here. Okay. So I do all of the editing, all the posting for all of them. It's the space that I know. It's the space that I love. And I'm not used to being on this side of the microphone where I'm the one being interviewed, but I'm usually the interviewer. So it's a little bit different for me to be on this side of the microphone, but excited to be here. So.
No, thank you for joining.
Of course.
And I wanted to change the script up on you because, you know, you do all the interviewing, but I'm like, people deserve to get a chance to get to know you.
I appreciate that.
And to see that side. And so I'm curious, I wanted to dive into kind of your journey on getting into podcasting.
Yeah. So I started in podcasting my sophomore year of high school. It started because I wanted to write a blog about sports. That was it. I was like, I'm just going to write about sports. And what I did was I posted that blog like everywhere around my school. Every classroom I went into, I wrote it on the whiteboard. I wrote down what the website was, where you could find the blog. It was called Every Sport Professionally Now, which if you read the acronym, it's actually ESPN.
Interesting.
I thought that was a little funny thing to do at first. We started out as a blog and then it turned into a podcast. And then it got to the point where like we were just talking about sports and the blog blew up and the podcast kind of grew in popularity. And I was able to interview some athletes from the schools and stuff like that. And it was just a cool, unique experience to be able to dive into that space. And since then I've had about 6 different iterations of different podcasts that I've done, mainly as the host, a couple as, you know, co-hosts and stuff like that, but never really on the other side of the microphone. And so my entire mindset with podcasting was I want to be the best possible podcast host that I could ever possibly be.
Okay.
So instead of going to like school for it, what I did was I went online to like, I didn't actually take the classes, but like you can look up a lot of college courses online. Mm-hmm. And so Northwestern University has one of the best broadcast journalism programs in the country.
Okay.
And so I just started looking up a lot of their journalism stuff and what it takes to be a good host and ask the right questions, and just started learning as much as I could from searching up what I wanted to do and then actually implementing it into practice, right? Almost every podcast that I did up until the last like 5 years was just practice for me. Like I was just so interested in being the best podcast host that I could possibly be. And so I just hammered that home relentlessly day after day and tried to figure out where that, like what makes a good podcast host, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like people listen to podcasts because they enjoy it. They are here for the content. Like if you're listening to this right now, you're probably here to be interested in what we're talking about. I listen to podcasts to pay attention to the host and pick up what they do well and what they don't do well. That's why I love listening to Joe Rogan, because you could say whatever you want about Joe Rogan. He is there because he is the best podcast host in the world.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that in my mind. Yeah. And so when I listen to a Joe Rogan podcast, I don't listen to the guest. I listen to Joe Rogan and what makes him so special.
And the cues and questions and how he drives the conversation.
Yes. So I'm just relentlessly, when I listen to a podcast, and most of the podcasts I listen to are still sports related.
Yeah.
So I listen to Bill Simmons, Ryan Russillo, and it's just interesting to see how they command a podcast, because it's a talent. It really is. It takes someone very special to be a good podcast host. Okay. And I think that's something super special about podcasting. So
what, I guess, what would you say, what are your keys that make a good podcast host?
So the first thing that I always say makes a good podcast host is just being attentive to where the conversation is headed, right? You can have the questions in your mind. You can have the blueprint of where you want the conversation to go in your mind. You can have it written out. You can have a million questions written out, but it doesn't make a difference if you don't follow where the conversation goes, right? If the conversation goes in a direction that you didn't have planned and you're basically cutting off the conversation and taking it to a completely different direction, that doesn't do anything for the listener, right? A podcast at the end of the day, at its core, is a conversation between two people. Yes, it is recorded with microphones in front of it and it's projected to multiple other people. But at the end of the day, at its core is me and you are having a conversation right now. And if the conversation doesn't flow naturally, then it's not a good conversation.
Yeah.
Right. And so I always find that super fascinating where people, they're so focused on getting their questions in and they're so focused on just getting to the point that they want to talk about. But you got to let it flow.
Yeah.
You got to see where it takes itself.
Yeah.
That at its core is the number one principle that takes a good podcaster.
I love that.
A podcast host.
What would you say is, I guess, what's the strategy? Let's say you're having a conversation and it's not flowing. It's choppy. It's a little bit awkward. How do you get it back on track?
That's the thing is like, sometimes it's just going to be like that. Like sometimes you just kind of have to embrace that and just let it be a little choppy, right? Like you can bring it back to the point that you're trying to make. Like at the end of the day, you should have an objective for every podcast going into it. You should have multiple topics. You should have multiple questions either written out or planned out in your head, right? At the end of the day, if the conversation isn't flowing naturally, then just go with the questions that you have. Go with the formula that works. Go with the simple interview of, hey, I'm going to ask you a question, you answer. And the other thing too is like, you got to be able to respond to the answer that they give you, right? It can't just be ask question, let them answer, move on to next question.
Yeah.
It has to be question, answer, follow up on top of that, and then lead into your next question, right? If you're not taking that from a pure perspective of, hey, we're having a conversation, so I'm going to let it flow into the next question instead of just cutting it off and asking the next question, that doesn't get you anywhere when it comes to a podcast, right?
Yeah.
So it's super fascinating to see when, because sometimes you'll just have a bad interview and someone will just not know what they're talking about and they'll give you short answers and you just kind of have to move on from question to question and there's nothing to go off of, right? That happens sometimes. I know that there's working so closely to so many different podcasts. I see these podcasts every single day come into our studio and I notice them right off the bat because you can tell within the first 10, 15 minutes, like, okay, this isn't going to go anywhere.
Yeah.
Like, so it's super interesting to see how different podcasters adapt. Some of them just say, screw it. I know this isn't going to be the best episode. Just let the formula flow itself.
Just get through it.
Exactly. Just get through
the content.
Yeah. It's super fascinating. I'm sure you've seen that too with your podcast, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It's so interesting, man.
Yeah. It's part of the reason why I try not to do something so scripted.
Exactly.
And I just, what are they interested in? What makes them excited to talk about?
Exactly.
And then where the conversation takes us, it could lead this way and I lean into it and let it flow. Or if it goes a different way, then I lean into that. But I'll never try and steer the conversation to a certain way if it doesn't work with the guest.
Exactly. Yeah. It's all about the guest and it's all about making them feel comfortable, right?
Yeah.
Like, I can sit down and do a podcast any day of the week because I've done this for 10 years, right? Yeah. If you get someone who's on their first podcast, a lot of the first like 10, 15 minutes is just making them feel comfortable, right? It's not even about like actually getting any good content. It's just about, hey, how do I make you feel comfortable in this conversation? That way we can go from here to actually get into more detail and more depth and stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
I remember a podcast very vividly. I had a former member of the military on. I don't want to go into too much details, but he had very significant PTSD. And we were recording in a studio where you put on headphones. And when you put on headphones, you hear very clearly what is being said into the microphone.
Yeah.
And it's a weird experience. And so he was having a really difficult time with like dealing with the headphones, dealing with the microphones, dealing with the sound quality. It was just very overwhelming for him. And I remember immediately, like as soon as he put on the headphones, I was like, this is going to be bad.
Yeah.
First 10 minutes was just about getting him to feel comfortable, right? It was just about asking him what he actually like cares about, what he is passionate about on a day-to-day basis. After that, we were able to dive into some really deep, heavy conversations surrounding PTSD.
Yeah.
And he was perfectly fine with it. It was probably one of the best podcasts I've ever done because he was able to open up, feel comfortable and understand the circumstances and then was able to just open up and be free with it. It's powerful when you're able to create that space for someone and be able to let them do that, right?
Create an environment where they can be comfortable being uncomfortable.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's big time.
Yeah.
I want to ask you further on that. What is your best and worst podcast experiences?
So my best, that one's definitely up there when it comes to best. It's funny because like the best podcasts I have are always just like super random.
Yeah.
Like there was one that we did. There's a podcast that I hosted. It was called Co-op Culture. We kind of blew it up. It was very big in our area in Southern California at the time, okay, in Orange County. And one of the conversations that we did, basically the premise of the podcast was we took a part of culture, a topic of culture,
okay,
and dissected it. And what makes a great culture within that environment, what makes a bad culture within that environment, right? One of the episodes we did, we basically took the topic, dissected it into three different areas within that same topic, and basically created a massive Venn diagram while on the podcast, like basically just fleshing out all of these ideas while we're recording this episode.
Interesting.
And all of it turned out incredible. And like looking back on that episode, listening back to it, looking at my notes where I have this Venn diagram written out,
mm-hmm,
that we've since, you know, tweaked and modified. But like in that moment, we were just going through this and figuring it all out in our brains. And it all came together so beautifully just on a podcast format. And that stuff is like so simple and so beautiful when it comes to podcasts. There's been a couple of interviews with people that like I just don't necessarily vibe with.
Yeah.
I got, when I first moved out here, I got into a space where I was interviewing a lot of like bodybuilders and stuff like that. And at that time, I wasn't like super invested into that. I've since worked on my body a little bit more. Uh-huh. But back when I was, you know, 140 pounds soaking wet, I wasn't super interested in bodybuilding.
Yeah.
So I was interviewing these guys, stuff that I had no clue about, right? And it was just me purely going off of the ability that I have as a podcast host when in reality, I don't really care about what's being talked about. I think looking back on those podcasts, they weren't as good. It's difficult for me to sit here and be like, yeah, those were objectively good podcasts because I didn't really care. I wasn't invested into them, you know?
What is it that, I guess, got you started interviewing bodybuilders then?
It was just the people that I was surrounding myself with. Okay. When I first moved out here to Utah, I didn't know a lot of people. And so I was going to the gym and I was meeting a lot of guys there, right? And
that's the fitness culture of Utah.
Exactly, yes. Everyone, fitness culture in Utah, everyone is trying to be a bodybuilder,
yeah,
right? And so it's like my roommate was 19 at the time trying to start competing, right? Like it's just crazy the environment that's out here when it comes to that bodybuilding perspective. Because everybody is like that. Everyone wants to be in that space. And so, yeah, I was just meeting a lot of guys who were in that space. And I found it interesting enough to where I could, you know, conjure up questions and interview them. But it wasn't anything that I actually cared about.
Yeah.
So it wasn't anything that I actually paid attention to. Right.
Yeah.
So.
No, that's interesting to me because one of the things I've seen about Utah is I feel like they're either a bodybuilder, a fitness influencer,
yep,
or a coach.
Yeah.
It's like those are the three things that everyone's trying to do. And I'm like, why don't you be unique? Like, what's the side of you? Like, every time I interview someone who's into bodybuilding or fitness, I'm like, I want to get to know you away from the gym.
Exactly.
Away from working out and stuff. Because there's something there. And that's what's going to interest people. Because you can go to YouTube and find all sorts of fitness tips and everything. So what separates you from the crowd?
Yeah. And it's difficult to see that with a lot of different guys who are in that space.
Uh-huh.
Because a lot of them are the exact same. Yep.
They look the same. They wear the same.
Yep.
The wife beater, the gold chain.
Yep.
It's the same outfits.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious then. So moving out here, what brought you to Utah?
So I moved out here to start a business.
Okay.
I started a podcast network. I call it a media company.
Okay.
It's called Deadbolt Media after the nickname. And the idea, the premise behind it was there is no money in podcasting. I don't think this is a secret anymore.
Yeah.
I think people thought that there was a lot more money in podcasting before, but I think nowadays people have kind of come to realize there isn't really money in podcasting.
Yeah.
The idea behind the company was, hey, let's bring a bunch of podcasts together under one network, AKA a Barstool Sports, Ringer Podcast Network, stuff like that, where you could bring podcasts under the same company, under the same umbrella, and go get advertisements based off the total number of listens and downloads for every podcast, followers, instead of trying to get it for the individual podcast itself, right? Okay. So the idea was bringing a bunch of small content creators who are actually committed to doing this and wanting to, you know, have a platform to be able to grow and make money off of it, right? And be committed to it. So everything was going great. We had, I think there were about 6 podcasts to start. That's when I decided to leave my job and move out here and pursue that full time.
Okay.
And so a lot of the people I was working with, a lot of the podcasters, the content creators that I was in that space with were out here. And so I had friends out here. It just kind of made sense for me to come out here. And we were able to build that platform up, had about 15 podcasts part of the platform, built out our own studio. Everything was going great. And then we had about half the podcast just stop posting. So it left a little bit of a sour taste in my mouth and ended up having to, you know, dissolve the business and chalk it up as a learning experience and kind of move on from there. So that's what brought me out here.
Is with dissolving that business, is it something you want to go back to with the lessons you've learned, or?
It's interesting, right? Because I'm basically doing everything that I was doing for my own business, but now I'm doing that for 25 other podcasts.
Yeah.
And so in that sense where I am doing the same thing, like I would like to pursue that business down the road. However, my mindset has gone through such a shift since being out here to where I can be a leader in other spaces and use my value to what's to other people comparatively to wanting that dream of pursuing that for myself.
Okay.
So yes and no, to where I feel comfortable with what I'm doing right now because I was doing basically the exact same thing I was doing.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there is always that dream there. There is always that dream of, hey, this is what I started. This is what I want to finish. It would have to be under different circumstances, right? Different podcasts that were part of the network. But there is still that kind of drive and passion there.
Okay.
It's just in a different capacity now.
Okay.
So let's
talk about you want to be, I guess, a leader and to add value to other people and stuff. Where do you see yourself adding, I guess, the most value for others?
The most value that I can add to other people, and I've come to realize this more recently, which is I'm a younger guy. I'm not young by means of a lot of the people that, you know, are in this kind of space, but I'm still younger. I'm 26. I still have that energy and that drive and that passion that's probably fair. I still have all these ideas and dreams of what I want to do, but right now my value is being a perfect member of whatever I need to be a part of, right? Let's use We Are the They, for example. There are a lot of guys who have a lot of experiences that I don't have.
Yeah.
However, I can still step up and be a part of that group, be a part of this community in a way that I never expected that I could, which is just being loyal and being a friend and understanding what I can do. Not necessarily to fit in, but to be a part of the communities properly has been so powerful to me, right? I've been able to shift my relationships with my family members, with my friends, with everyone that's around me, and just finding out how I can be a light in their lives and being that to a full extent. And to me, that's leadership, right?
Yeah.
Finding the leadership in the ways that you can, right?
Yeah.
So I found that super powerful recently.
Okay.
To where I've been able to do that. So,
okay.
Yeah.
I want to dive into what something you just said on the shift with your relationship with your family or your friends or everything. I don't know if you've gone through this experience, but since starting We Are the Day, I have felt like I look at my friends differently and I'm holding them to a different standard.
100%.
Because I'm like, wait, the guys in my group treat me like this.
Yeah.
Why are my friends not doing the same thing? Should these even be my friends?
Exactly.
Is that something that you've experienced and had to deal with? Because you're way ahead of me, so I'm assuming you've gone through these steps already.
Oh, yeah. It's like, I say that We Are the Day has changed my life, and I truly mean it, right? Like, and not even changed my life, saved my life in a lot of different ways. And so when it comes to the relationship, especially with my friends, the people that I surround myself with, I can't tell you the amount of people I've cut out, right?
Yeah.
Because the type of people that I was around when it comes to when I first moved out here, they weren't the type of people that I want to be around, right?
Yeah.
It was a lot of those fitness influencers. Uh-huh. And there's a lot of toxic environment within that culture. And so I separated myself with that entirely. I got rid of everybody in my life who I was surrounding myself with in that space that I couldn't connect with on a deeper level. There were a couple that, you know, I could actually connect with. And they're actually people that treat me the same way as my brothers in Watt do, right? But I had to get rid of a lot of that. I also had to set boundaries with my family, right? My family has gone through extreme circumstances over these last 5 years. And it's been very difficult on a lot of members. And I have always been looked at as the rock for a lot of people. But the way that my family looks at me as a rock is they just vent to me. Yeah. And that becomes a burden on me, uh-huh. right? And so although I'm there for them, it has to be in a healthy way.
Yeah.
So I sat down, had that conversation with all of them, set those boundaries. Our relationship has never been better, right? I'm still able to be that rock and allow them to talk about what they need to talk about. But it's not a venting way. It's a how do we work this through together way?
Yeah.
How are we family in this situation, right?
Yeah.
And it's been so powerful to see that shift come through in just being a rock to people in different ways and setting those boundaries, not only for myself, but for the other people around me, right? Yeah. So it's been so powerful.
Oh, that's huge. Mm-hmm. How, for someone, I guess, in the same situation as you, who is dealing with things with their families or trying to create better relationships, or they do have the instance where their family's venting to them or coming to them with issues, how would you advise that person to take those steps to create boundaries?
The best advice I could give is probably to take an intake of your own life and figure out what you're doing to where you can give to more people. And what I mean by that is, like, I took an intake of my own life, and fear had controlled a lot of my life to where I was basically being held back in life because of my fears, and I wasn't actually doing anything to fight those. Since I started understanding that and realizing that, I started to combat those fears, right? I took an intake of my life, and I've been able to fight what I'm dealing with and fight against what my own kind of mind thinks. I've always been a super anxious kid. I dealt with depression for most of my life. And when I took an intake and realized kind of what was leading me down that path and what I was anxious about and what was making me depressed, I was able to just kind of not necessarily flip a switch, but become more cognizant of it. And when that recognition came through, I was then able to say, okay, in these circumstances, how do I adjust around that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do I, let's go back to the example of, you know, being there for my family and hearing them vent and stuff like that.
Yeah.
How do I not let this bring me down to where immediately when I'm off the phone with, you know, my own mother, I'm now depressed after having this conversation?
Yeah.
How do I shift that mindset? And it was all an intake of, you know, understanding what my mind does in this circumstance, what my mind does in that circumstance. And then basically saying, all right, how do I change this to a positive connotation?
Yeah.
Right. How do I enjoy this, right? Nowadays, I love having a conversation with my mom. Every time I get off the phone with her, it's a light to my day, right? Brightens me up. It might still be a similar conversation, but I'm able to convert it into a way where I'm just more happy afterwards because I get to talk to my mom, right? It's a simple mindset shift sometimes. So I think that's my best advice, is just understanding your life, understanding your thought process, and then being able to work that into what's making you, you know, feel anxious, feel depressed, feel fearful, whatever it may be, right? So,
have you spent the time to explain to your family on, hey, here's how these conversations are impacting me?
Yeah.
And how did that go?
It went better than I thought, right? Because there was a time where, like before Watt, where every conversation I had with my family member led me down to a very dark path.
Yeah.
It was just a very dark time, and they just always wanted to come to me to get those words out there. And a lot of that was like, my thought process was always like, what if I just cut off ties entirely, right? Mm-hmm. What if I just stop talking to my family? That'll just make me so much happier. And then I realized that's not the case, right? So then it was, all right, how do I actually fix this? How do I actually have a conversation with them? So with my mom, for example, it was very much a, hey, I love you. I understand that we have gone through this together and I have been able to be there for you, but I need to be able to be there for you in a different manner.
Yeah.
That way I don't get brought down.
Yeah.
Right? Because if you love me and if you care about me, you're going to care about my mental state. So let's figure this out together and how we can do this, right? It wasn't a conversation of like, I'm cutting you off unless you do this, right? That's a very hard boundary. That's not productive. Because if I would have said that to my mom, like, hey, you cannot talk to me unless it's positive, that would have gotten nowhere. When it comes from a place of love, and it comes from a place of how do we do this together, that way we're both positive and we both enjoy talking to each other, how do we enjoy this as a whole, it becomes so much more powerful.
Yeah.
And I've started to learn that with basically every relationship that I'm in right now. Relationship with friends, family, Watt brothers, leaders, people that I look up to, right? Yeah. Every relationship has become, hey, if there's a boundary that needs to be set, how do we set it together?
Yeah.
Right? It can't be a one-sided boundary.
Yeah.
That's what I've learned.
I like that, because I spent this past weekend and I made a decision and it was tough. I called everyone that I would consider a friend outside of my Watt group. And I said, here is my expectations for friendship. Here's what I need from you.
Yeah.
What do you need from me?
Exactly.
But also, what issues or what gripes do you have with me? Let me hear it.
Yeah.
And some of the kids, 30 minutes, just ripped into me.
Yeah.
And by the end of the night, I was like laying on my bed. I'm like, I am an awful person. Because in your head, you know, you've had these friends for years, for months, and they've never told you these things before.
Yeah.
And finally, where they're at a place where they're comfortable to say it.
Exactly.
It the truth hurts.
It does.
No matter how we want to take it or think, it hurts, but it's needed.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was kind of the process similar to you. What I had to go through is, here's my expectations. Here's my boundaries. If it doesn't work, I still love you, but you can't be part of my life.
Exactly.
And I think it's a cycle that we have to go through to better ourselves. And as we level up, if those guys are not leveling up with us, it's hard to take them with us.
Yeah. And that's a difficult thing to see with people too, right? Yeah. Because it's like the people that I do have really close to me in my life, I love them and like they love me unconditionally.
Yeah.
But I am to a point where I'm seeing all the growth that I'm making and I'm seeing where they are. And it's not a place of like, hey, you have to be on my level.
Yeah.
It's a place of like, I want you to be seeing the same thing that I'm seeing and growing the same way that I'm growing.
Yep.
But I feel like you're regressing.
Yeah.
Right? It's not a place of, hey, you're not where I am. It's a place of, hey, I want us to be on the same level. I want us to grow together. Yeah. How do we get to that point?
Yeah.
Exactly what you were saying.
No, so. That's huge. I think it's super important.
Yeah.
It's very powerful. I want to shift away a little bit from mindset. And,
yeah, of course.
I'm curious for you. You've been in podcasting, I mean, for years.
Yeah.
Way longer than me. You know the system. You know the hacks. For someone looking to start a podcast, what is the initial steps that they should take?
The initial steps, you have to be committed first off.
Okay.
I can't tell you the amount of people that I've seen who record 5 to even 20 podcasts and just don't release them.
Yeah.
Right? There are so many people who get caught up in this. Everything has to be perfect, right? When it comes to podcasting, there's so many of them that you just have to do it. You have to get it out there. You have to market it. You have to advertise it. You just have to do all these different things.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, if you're not committed to actually posting them, it doesn't go anywhere. Yeah. It doesn't mean anything, right? The equipment, the technology, the learning how to edit and stuff like that, that doesn't matter unless you actually say, hey, I'm going to do this and I'm going to post the podcast.
Yeah.
Because there are a million people out there every single day who say, we should start a podcast.
Uh-huh.
But so many people don't know, you know, even where to start.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, it's about starting.
Yeah.
It's about saying, hey, I want to do this. I'm committed to this. And then if you don't have the equipment, you don't have the knowledge or expertise to edit or anything, finding a place like Rookery Studios where we just do everything for you and we have the equipment.
Just walk in, sit down.
Exactly.
Talk and leave.
Yeah. It makes everything so much easier, right? Mm-hmm. You can go on Amazon. You can go buy equipment wherever. You can make it work. You can download a Spreaker account. You can create whatever. You can get podcasts posted. It's not that complicated. Yeah. You can figure it out yourself.
But it's a headache.
Yes.
Trying to do it yourself.
Yes. But if you just want someone to do it for you, there are avenues out there. People don't realize that, right? I didn't realize. I mean, every podcast that I've done up until starting to come here was just me creating a studio and buying microphones, buying cameras, just doing whatever I can by myself and just figuring it out. That's perfectly fine. You can do that. But if you don't want to do it, there are places like this where you can just do it.
Plug and play.
Yeah. And people don't realize that. It's crazy. Crazy.
How, if people want to connect with you to come film a podcast, how do they find you?
So if you guys want to come film a podcast with Rookery Studios, it's just at Rookery Studio on Instagram. Check us out there. All of our posts on Instagram are just like the podcasts that record here or just like the rooms that we have. So if you want to come check out the rooms that we have, check them out there. Just DM us directly through Instagram that way, or you can reach out to me directly on Instagram. It's just at @the_deadbolt on Instagram. Just go there, DM me directly. Part of what I've been trying to do too is like work with a lot of these podcasts. There are so many podcasts that just come in here. They just want to record and have fun with it. And like, they don't actually want it to go anywhere.
Yeah.
But there are some people who like actually want to try.
Yeah.
And they want to put in the effort and they want to get good at it. I've started doing not necessarily like actual consulting, but like, you know, if people have questions and stuff like that about how to start a podcast, what it takes to be good at it, what I'm doing wrong, what I'm doing right. Like there are 4 or 5 different podcasts just in the past couple months that have reached out to me and they're like, hey, can you just listen to this and just give me constructive criticism?
Yeah.
I don't want you to listen to it as like a fun, like, hey, I need more viewers. Just listen to it and just rail into me.
Okay.
Just tell me what I'm doing right. Tell me what I'm doing wrong. I always find that super fascinating to where I can actually help someone by listening to them and saying, hey, here's what you should be doing. Here's what you should not be doing. Stop this, do this, whatever it may be. So I'm always here to help.
I actually just dropped my first episode
this
morning. And I was actually thinking, I was going to ask you to do the same thing today. I was like, analyze this, rip it into me, tell me.
It's easy.
You know, I mean, my dad since 4 a.m. this morning,
been
doing the same thing.
That's good.
Hey, change this and ideas here and that.
Yeah.
I think in conclusion, what I wanted to ask you is if we get away from the podcasting and the day-to-day that you do, what is one thing people either don't know about you or what is one thing that you want people to know you for?
Ooh, that is a good question. So I've always been known as the sports guy, right?
Yeah.
The reason I got into podcasting was sports. The reason that I'm doing my podcast just for fun on the side right now is because I like talking about sports. It's always been the thing that like I want to be, not necessarily that I want to be known for, that I am known for. And I was always fighting that for a long time because I was like, there's so much more.
Yeah.
There's so much more there. But I've kind of embraced it recently to where I'm kind of like, yeah, I'm the sports guy. Like, I'll be the one who starts your fantasy football league. I'm the one, if you want to ask about gambling picks or whatever it may be, for example, I'm not saying that I do anymore.
You're the go-to?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to have to give you some money. We'll talk about this afterwards.
So it's always been funny that, you know, I've always just been known as the sports guy, but I'm really embracing it because I think there's so many aspects of life in sports that people don't understand. And so my love from sports doesn't come from I get to watch my favorite athletes on screen. It's I get to learn about like culture and life and learn about different experiences that people have, learn about injuries, learn about health, wellness, stuff like that, like how people take care of themselves.
I love that.
There are so many aspects of sports, and it's why I've actually almost done a 180 on like the bodybuilding culture to where I'm like, I actually respect the hell out of it now.
Yeah.
And I think it's super fascinating how everything is worked and intertwined. I mean, I'm up 23 pounds myself since the start of the year.
Okay.
Like
way to go.
Yeah. I've very much been intentional about like learning all this stuff, health and wellness and stuff like that. And I just think sports just ties so well into that. So if I'm known as the sports guy, don't just know me as the sports guy who watches everything and knows everything. It's the sports guy who understands how life operates because of what I learned from sports. Right.
Yeah.
So I just find that super fascinating.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, brother, thank you so much for joining.
Of course, man.
And sitting down.
Yeah.
I know we didn't dive a lot into sports, but I wanted to open up another side of you.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that.
Be able to dig deep.
Yeah, that's good. If people want to listen to my sports takes, you can go listen to my sports podcast.
Awesome.
That's it. So
perfect. Yeah. And I'll drop a link to a sports podcast in the comments below.
I appreciate that.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you, brother.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to Man on the Mic. We appreciate you spending your time with us today. Remember, our podcast is available on all platforms, so you can listen anytime, anywhere. Be sure to subscribe and stay updated. New episodes drop every week. Until next time, keep the conversation going. And as always, stay true to yourself. Thanks for watching.